Pull out a sectional chart. Any sectional. Spread it out on the table in front of you. Now look at the empty space. Not the airports, not the airways, the empty space between them, the parts most of us skim right over. In the middle of every one of those little grid boxes printed in blue, there are two numbers stacked on top of each other, a big number and a small number. Most pilots have looked at those numbers 10,000 times and never once used them. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the two most ignored numbers on the whole chart, and how they quietly answer the one question a cross country is really about. Not how do I get there. The question is, how high do I have to be to not hit anything on the way? Let's walk through this together. Those two numbers are called the maximum elevation figure. The MEF, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, prints them in the middle of every grid formed by the lines of latitude and longitude, and the grid down at the lower 48 is roughly 30 minutes on a side. Call it a box about 30 nautical miles wide. Here's what that figure means, and here's what it does not mean, because the difference matters. The maximum elevation figure tells you the height of the tallest thing inside that box, above sea level, with a little buffer already baked in. The chart makers find the highest obstacle in the box. Could be a mountain peak, could be a radio tower on top of a hill. Then they take the height of that obstacle, they add the height of the tower, if it's a natural terrain feature that might have unmarked stuff on it, they add a margin for the fact that surveyed elevations have some slop in them, and they round up to the next 100 feet. So if you see a big number 2, and below it a small number 3, that reads as 2,300 feet. Somewhere in that box, there is something that reaches up toward you, and the top of it is below 2,300 feet mean sea level. The FAA has done the work of guaranteeing that. What the MEF does not mean is that it's a safe altitude to fly. That's the trap. It is the top of the terrain and obstacles. It is not your cruising altitude. If you fly at exactly the MEF, you are flying at the exact height of the tallest tower in the box. That's not clearance. That's a collision altitude. Let me say that again because it's the whole point. The MEF is the floor of your thinking, not the answer. It tells you the lowest you could ever consider, and then you build up from there. Before we go further, let me thank the folks who help keep this show in the air. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones nobody sees but you. aviationsoul.com. Now, let's build a real cross country and use these numbers the way they're meant to be used. Say you're planning a flight across a stretch of high desert and foothills. You draw your course line on the chart, pencil, and straight edge the old way, because the old way is how you learn to see the terrain instead of just trusting the magenta line on the tablet. You draw the line, and now you do something simple that a lot of pilots skip. You look at every grid box your line passes through, every single one, and you find the highest maximum elevation figure along the whole route. Let's say the highest one you find is a 9,500. Big number 9, little number 5, that's your worst box. Somewhere along your path, there's terrain or a tower reaching up to just under 9,500 feet. Here's how you turn that into a real altitude. The FAA, in the Aeronautical Information Manual and in the way Search and Rescue thinks about these things, gives you a working guide. Over anything other than flat, open country, you want at least 1,000 feet of clearance above the highest obstacle within a reasonable distance, either side of your course. In the mountains, a lot of experienced pilots push that to 2,000 feet, because mountain wind does things to an airplane that flatland wind never will. Downdrafts on the lee side of a ridge can exceed your airplane's ability to climb. If you're skimming a ridge with 200 feet to spare and you hit sink, you are now a passenger. So take your worst-case MEF, 9,500, and add your clearance. 1,000 feet gets you to 10,500, 2,000 feet for real mountains gets you to 11,500. And now, here's the elegant part. Look at those numbers, 10,500, 11,500. Those aren't random, those are hemispheric cruising altitudes. The regulation, Federal Aviation Regulation 9159, says when you're more than 3,000 feet above the surface, flying visual, on a magnetic course from 0 up to 179 degrees, you fly odd thousands plus 500. Westbound, 180 around to 359, even thousands plus 500. So your terrain clearance math and your cruising altitude rule are trying to shake hands. If you're headed westbound and your terrain says you need at least 10,500, but 10-5 is an eastbound altitude. You step up to 12,500, which is the correct westbound altitude, and gives you even more margin. The terrain sets the floor. The regulation snaps you to a legal, sensible level. They work together. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. I thought altitude planning was about fuel and winds aloft, about finding the most efficient level. And it is, partly, but the first question altitude answers is survival. Winds aloft and fuel burn are how you choose between the safe altitudes. Terrain is what tells you which altitudes are even on the table. Do the terrain math first, always first. Now let's talk about a number the MEF is silently connected to, because when you get up near 12,500, something else enters the picture. Your body. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.211. The oxygen rule. Above 12,500 cabin pressure altitude, if you're up there longer than 30 minutes, the crew needs supplemental oxygen. Above 14,000, the crew needs it the whole time. See what just happened? The terrain forced you up to 12,500 for clearance. That same altitude just triggered an oxygen requirement on a longer leg. A cross-country plan is a web. Pull the terrain string and the oxygen string moves. This is why we plan on the ground with coffee and a whole table instead of figuring it out at altitude with our hands full. Let me give you a scenario, because scenarios are how this actually sticks. You're a fresh private pilot, 200 hours maybe less. You're flying from the valley over to visit family on the other side of a mountain range. Beautiful day, severe clear. You pull up your route, and the direct line goes right over the high country. You look at the maximum elevation figures along that line, and the worst one is 11,200. Your airplane, a normally aspirated trainer, will climb to 12.5 but slowly, and it's honestly wheezing up there, especially loaded with people and bags on a warm day. So you've got a decision. And this is exactly the kind of decision the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, wants to see you make out loud. The cross-country planning task in the ACS isn't just, can you draw a line and compute a heading? The examiner is looking for you to demonstrate that you considered terrain, that you selected a cruising altitude with a reason behind it, that you thought about aircraft performance at that altitude on this day. Your choices? You could climb over the top at 12.5 and accept 2,000 feet of margin, knowing your climb rate up there is poor and your options in a downdraft are thin. Or, and this is what a lot of seasoned mountain pilots would do, you follow the valleys and the passes. You give up the straight line, your route gets longer, but your worst-case MEF drops way down because you're never over the peaks, you're over the low ground between them. Now maybe your highest MEF on the whole route is 7,800, and a comfortable 9,500 clears it with room to spare and keeps you well below the oxygen numbers, with your airplane still climbing like it means it. The straight line is rarely the smart line in the mountains. The maximum elevation figures are how you find that out at the kitchen table instead of over the ridge. Let me hand you a few practical takeaways you can use on your very next planning session. First, when you draw your course, don't just glance at the terrain near your line. Scan the MEF in every box the line touches, and honestly, scan the boxes just to either side too, because you may drift. You may need to deviate around a building cloud and you want to know what's next door. Second, find the single highest MEF on the route. That one box, the worst one, sets your minimum. Add 1,000 feet over gentle terrain, 2,000 over real mountains, then round up to the correct hemispheric cruising altitude for your direction of flight. Third, once you land on an altitude, sanity check it against your airplane. Pull the performance charts. What's your climb rate at that altitude on the temperature you'll actually see that day? Density altitude on a hot afternoon can turn a book number into a fantasy. If the chart says you'll be climbing at 200 feet a minute at your planned altitude, that's not an airplane clearing a ridge with authority. That's an airplane you should route around the terrain, not over it. Fourth, check whether your terrain-driven altitude bumps you into the oxygen rules and whether it bumps you toward airspace ceilings or the flight levels. Terrain does not care about your regulations. You have to be the one holding all of it at once. And a word of honesty, the kind I try never to skip. Learning to fly is hard and it is expensive, and cross-country planning is one of those skills that feels like busy work right up until the day it isn't. The first few times you do this, checking every grid box, doing the clearance math, it's slow and it's tedious and you'll wonder if anybody really does it this way. The pilots who've been doing this a long time do exactly this. They've just done it enough that it's fast. It became a habit that runs quietly in the background while they look out the window. That's where you're headed. Slow is just fast. That hasn't been practiced yet. One more thing about those little blue numbers, and then I'll let you go plan something. The maximum elevation figure is a promise. Somebody surveyed that ground, cataloged the obstacles, added the buffers, and printed a number you can bet your life on. That's the FAA, and the charting folks doing quiet, unglamorous work, so that a pilot they'll never meet, flying a route they'll never know about, has one honest number to build a safe altitude on. When you actually use that number, you're completing a handshake that started long before you drew your line. So next time you spread out a chart, don't skim past the empty space. That empty space is where the terrain lives. And those two stacked numbers are the terrain telling you exactly how much room it needs. Give it more. Always give it more. Today's numbers and rules come straight from the FAA's sectional chart legend, the Aeronautical Information Manual, and Federal Aviation Regulations 9159 and 91.211, and the planning standards are right there in the Airman Certification Standards. If you want to read what the examiner reads, you can find us at radiohanger.com. Go pull out a chart tonight. Find the highest maximum elevation figure on a route you've always wanted to fly and figure out how high you'd have to be. That's your homework, and it's the good kind. I'm Pattern. Keep looking out the window, and I'll see you next time.